it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. We're going to be joined by Kellis Robinette in a bit, but our college football coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanners location. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. Let's head to the phone lines right now. I'll be joined by Kellis Robinette. He covers the Kansas State Wildcat. Kellis, happy to have you join us today, man. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Absolutely. Let's start with this. What has gone wrong for Kansas State? This is the team that was ranked preseason top 15. We were discussing them as a team that could potentially win the Big 12. I guess that's still on the table, but they are not playing like a team that can win a conference.
No, a lot of things have gone wrong for them this season. Pretty much everything that could go against them has. You look back at their game against Army, they're in a position to win the game, and then they just give up, 3-yard run after 3-yard run, and then Army gets a pretty fortunate bounce on an onside kick, and they get double possessions out of it, and you're in a game where your offense is only on the field for like 5 minutes in the entirety of the second half. Just a weird game that didn't go their way. North Dakota, they couldn't get up the field in that one either. Needed a late drive from Avery Johnson to win. And then in Iowa State, they couldn't make the plays in the fourth quarter either. They lose that one. So really, I mean, they're really close to 0-3. I know you could say, hey, they're close to 3-0. They lost both their games by 3 points. It's still a negative point differential on the season. Their only win is against FCS North Dakota by a field goal. So it just kind of shows you when they've gotten into the second half, they've been in the fourth quarter in every game, and it's hard to win that way.
Sometimes Wildcat fans are a very angry bunch, but I actually was on their side. I'm a little surprised that Chris Klieman didn't read the room a little bit better, and that just was not the time to give those comments about his team.
It was a strange post-game speech he had in the media. I've heard from people who were inside the locker room who said basically he just said the exact same thing to the team too, and even some of those guys thought it was way too positive of a message. I was surprised to hear him say he was dang proud of his team after a 1-2 start, a loss against Army. I mean, I know there were some fluky things in there, and he's trying to come out there and defend his team, but I think Kansas State fans would have liked to have him come out and, you know, not ream his team or anything, but at least to hold them accountable. Show a little bit of tough love in that situation. I will say, though, to Kansas State's credit, we got to talk to some captains on the team, defensive tackle Damian Alalio, starting quarterback Avery Johnson, and they both spoke that way. They said this is unacceptable. We got to figure out a way to, you know, turn the season around like we have in the past. In 2022, they lost an early game to Tulane, and that kind of galvanized their team to go on a winning streak afterwards. So They talked about that. They talked about moving forward. They talked about getting better. It was a little odd that the player messages seemed to be stronger than that from the coach.
Right now, we're talking to Kellis Robinette, who covers the Kansas State Wildcats. Big reason why we wanted you on the show is you are picking against Kansas State on Friday in Arizona. Is that because they're on the road? Is that because of how they're playing? Maybe all of the above? What led you to pick against K-State this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of everything. It's hard to have a lot of conviction on this game just because, like Arizona, you look at them, they're 2-0 with two really impressive victories. They've scored 40 points in both games. They haven't given up a touchdown yet. But the wins have come at home against Hawaii and Weber State. You know, a lot of teams probably would have gone out and beaten those teams handily as well. But I've watched the games. They look athletic. They look like they're an improved team from last season. You know, Kansas State hasn't exactly played hard opponents the last 2 weeks either. North Dakota and Army, they play them even, aggregate score. They lose 1-3, they win 1-3. So you look at both sides, one team seems to be improved from last season. They got some swagger. They played 2 games at home. They get to play another one in primetime on Friday night. Kansas State is in a slump. They got to travel on short rest out to Arizona in the heat. A week after playing Army, which is always tiring on teams. And let's not forget, 3 weeks ago, they were in Ireland The beginning of the schedule, nobody did Kansas State any favors scheduling a game in Ireland, a game against Army, and then a road game on short rest against Arizona. I think it's a bad spot for them. I agree with the odds makers who make it basically a coin flip. I could see it going either way, but my gut says Arizona deserves a little bit of an edge here.
So Rob and I were in a Columbia bar at the end of the game. You know, Rob cheers for KU. I cheer for Missouri. I'm kind of indifferent on K-State. I'm not a fan. I don't dislike them. They've never done anything to me. But Rob, as you would imagine, as a KU alum, hates the Wildcats. Rob is in the bar yelling how bad K-State is and that they're not going to make a bowl game. Do you feel like if K-State loses this game and they fall to 1-3, are we talking about this season really going off the rails?
I mean, yeah, if their goal is to reach the postseason, they need to win this game. Technically speaking, all of their long-term goals would still be in front of them with a loss, because if you win the Big 12, you can reach the college football playoff with an automatic berth. But yeah, to start 1-3, that's not something anybody envisioned. I looked at FanDuel today, and they had Kansas State's over-under win total for the whole season right now at 5.5, and you could get the over 5.5 at plus money. That just goes to show you what I guess the real experts think about where they are right now. So it might be hard for them to get to a bowl game regardless of what happens here this week. But yeah, they need some wins. Their Big 12 schedule isn't the easiest. And to fall to 1-3, I mean, they do have a bye week coming up. They could get healthy. They could get things turned around after that. But you would much rather be 500 going into that proposition than 1-3. And that makes this a big game.
What happens if K-State loses to Kansas this year?
Well, you could probably take whatever dissatisfaction you've noticed from the Kansas State fan base already and multiply it by, you know, 10 or 15. People aren't going to be happy. That's certainly one thing that fans of Manhattan have hung their hat on all these years. They've won every single time over Kansas, going back to the first year Bill Snyder came out of retirement. I mean, the streak's not going to last forever. It has to end at some point, but Kansas State fans want it to go on as long as possible. So to have a down season, the possibility of losing that game would make it even worse.
I mean, you said 10 or 15, Kellis. That might be the most generous thing you've ever said. I mean, right? I don't want to be in your mentions if they lose to KU this year, because you know KU is running on the field. They're tearing down the goalpost. They're dropping that thing in the lake. Oh, a time will be had in their new stadium. I don't want that for you, Kellis. I really don't want that for you.
Well, I mean, yeah, I hear you. Maybe you need to multiply by 100, but I will say if Kansas State gets things turned around here and they can keep the streak going against Kansas, you do have to kind of wonder when's the year it ends.
That's a great point. That is Kellis Robinette joining us on the show today. He covers the Kansas State Wildcats. The over-under right now for K-State wins is at 5.5. Kellis, great stuff. We look forward to catching up with you on just a more positive note when it comes to the Wildcats.
All right, I'll be here.
Absolutely. That is Kellis Robinette joining us on the show today. Always happy to talk a little Kansas State football.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.